Chapter 11. "So what are you after?" Richard asked Hunter. The three of them were walking, with extreme care, along the bank of an underground river. The bank was slippery, a narrow path, along dark rock and sharp masonry. Richard watched with respect as the grey water rushed and tumbled within arm's reach. This was not the kind of river you fell into and got out of again. It was the other kind. After.
"Well," he said, "personally, I'm trying to get back to the real London and my old life. Dore wants to find out who killed her family. What are you after?"
They edged along the bank, a step at a time, Hunter in the lead. She said nothing in reply. The river slowed and fed into a small underground lake. They walked beside the water, their lamps reflecting in the black surface, their reflections smudged by the river mist.
"So what is it?"
asked Richard. He did not expect any kind of answer. Hunter's voice was quiet and intense. She did not break her step as she spoke. "I fought in the sewers beneath New York with the great blind white alligator king. He was 30 feet long, fat from sewage, and fierce in battle. And I bested him, and I killed him. His eyes were like huge pearls in the darkness." Her strangely accented voice echoed in the underground, twined in the mist in the night beneath the earth. "I fought the bear that stalked the city beneath Berlin. He had killed 1,000 men, and his claws were stained brown and black from the dried blood of 100 years. But he fell to me. He whispered words in a human tongue as he died." The mist hung low on the lake. Richard fancied that he could see the creatures she spoke of, white shapes writhing in the vapor. "There was a black tiger in the undercity of Calcutta, a man-eater, brilliant and bitter, the size of a small elephant. A tiger is a worthy adversary. I took him with my bare hands." Richard glanced at Dore. She was listening to Hunter intently. This was news to her too, then. "And I shall slay the beast of London. They say his hide bristles with swords and spears and knives stuck in him by those who have tried and failed. His tusks are razors, and his hooves are thunderbolts. I will kill him, or I will die in the attempt." Her eyes shone as she spoke of her prey. The river mist had become a thick yellow fog. A bell was struck, a little way away, 3 times, the sound carrying across the water. The world began to lighten. Richard thought he could see the squat shapes of buildings around them. The yellow-green fog became thicker. It tasted of ash and soot and the grime of 1,000 urban years. It clung to their lamps, muffling the light.
"What is this?" he asked.
"London fog," said Hunter.
"But they stopped years ago, didn't they? Clean Air Act, all that."
Richard found himself remembering the Sherlock Holmes books of his childhood.
What did they call them again?
"Pea soupers," said Dore. "London particulars. Thick yellow river fogs mixed with coal smoke and whatever rubbish was going into the air for the last 5 centuries. Hasn't been one in the upworld for, 40 years now. We get the ghosts of them down here."
Not ghosts. More like echoes."
Richard breathed in a strand of the yellow-green fog and began to cough.
"That doesn't sound good," said Dore.
"Fog in my throat," said Richard.
The ground was becoming stickier, muddier. It sucked at Richard's feet as he walked.
"Still," he said, to reassure himself, "a little fog never hurt anyone."
Dor looked up at him with big pixie eyes. There was one in 1952 that they reckon killed 4,000 people.
People from here? He asked. Under London?
Your people, said Hunter. Richard was willing to believe it. He thought about holding his breath, but the fog was getting thicker. The ground was becoming mushier.
I don't understand, he asked. Why do you have fogs down here when we don't have them up there anymore?
Dor scratched her nose.
There are little bubbles of old time in London where things and places stay the same, like bubbles in amber, she explained. There's a lot of time in London, and it has to go somewhere. It doesn't all get used up at once.
I may still be hungover, sighed Richard. That almost made sense.